Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
The American Academy of Pediatrics issued a new policy statement providing care for immigrant, migrant, and border children. And this is a national immigration reform legislation, and it's critical that Congress consider the health and safety needs of all of our children. My guest is Dr. Gonzalo Paz-Soldan, and he's the medical director of Arlington Pediatrics Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Paz-Soldan. Tell us a little bit about this reform.
Yes, and thank you for inviting me. Well, what we have done is the American Academy of Pediatrics has put out a new policy statement, like you have mentioned, outlining some principles that we feel are very important, especially now as the Congress engages in a debate about immigration reform. Immigrant children are rapidly growing and very important demographic in children in the United States. Currently, one in every four children in the U.S. are immigrant children. We're talking about 18 million children currently. And like I said, it's rapidly growing. So many areas and many pediatricians now are treating and seeing and taking care of these children in their practices and in their communities. And we feel like during this, especially during this time, during the debate about immigration, we want to make sure that all children, including immigrant children, are included, as well as in healthcare reform, because these children are many times at risk and face multiple barriers to healthcare and to health and to well-being.
Now, in the health disparities that we see in this country and the underserved populations, you know, in some of the urban communities or even out in the rural communities, are the immigrant children who may or may not be in those communities more likely to suffer anxiety and things of that nature because maybe they know about their parents, you know, immigrant status or face the threat of deportation or one parent goes back and forth, you know, this sort of thing? Are they more at risk for those types of illnesses as well?
Yes, that's one a very important point. And but I would like to also point out that when we talk about immigrant children, it is important to keep in mind that this is a very diverse group, both culturally and socioeconomically. But one of the things we see is that they face common problems and common barriers like poverty, language barriers, and like you mentioned, sometimes fear and anxiety, family and fear of family separation. Many of these children live in a family where one or more of the parents may be undocumented, so there is that constant fear and anxiety about that parent may not be there at any given point, especially now that we're seeing a stronger immigration enforcement effort over the last several years. So, for example, in my practice, I work with primarily immigrant families, and many times hardly a week goes by that I don't identify a family where one parent has been detained or has been deported. It's also very important to point out that 86% of these children are U.S. citizens, and they have access to resources and are entitled to services and resources as U.S. citizens. But when one parent is removed, or sometimes both parents are removed, then we have, you know, a parent, a mother, and usually a young child here in the office in complete crisis.
Well, I'm sure that that's true. And socially, economically, and now as Congress debates reforming the nation's immigrant system, and the American Academy of Pediatrics is issuing a call to support the health and well-being of immigrant children, infants, adolescents, and young adults. Dr. Paz Solden, what do you want the communities? Because this could be controversial. There could be people that would say, you know, and as you pointed out correctly, they are U.S. citizens and they have a right. And even if they're not, they're human beings and they're children. And how can we turn our backs? Because if their health suffers, that affects the future of our nation. Should they stay here and go to school and become our nation's doctors and lawyers? I mean, it's in our best interest, correct? So what do you want communities that might be saying, I don't want to pay for this, or I don't think it's important? Tell them what you want them to hear about the importance of this.
Well, I think for communities, it's very important to first raise the awareness that the immigrant children are an important group and a growing group in our communities. And these are children that we want to grow and be healthy and develop to their fullest potential. I think once the awareness is there, and like you mentioned, these are children. We're advocating for the well-being of all children in the United States. In terms, one of the things we strongly support is that all children should have access to health insurance. And it's very important I think when you take it to the individual level, people support that idea, that no children should go without access to health care for checkups or to be able to see the doctor when they're sick.
Now you see a lot of immigrant children. What about the language interpretation for medical services? Because the AAP has recommendations I'd like to cover in this segment, Dr. Paz Solden, and the language interpretation for medical services should be available, should be covered by insurance. These are what the AAP recommends. How can offices do that? They just make sure to hire a staff member that is, you know, versed in Spanish. What about in Korean or in Chinese, you know, an increasing population of Chinese? How are we supposed to cover all of them?
Yes, and that's a very important point, because the language barriers are a significant problem when working with immigrant families. And as you know, And as people know from going to the doctor, the basis of medicine is good communication between the doctor and the patient. And if we cannot communicate, then we cannot deliver good medicine. So there's different strategies that offices can use depending on the population they serve, depending on the size of the organization, from having, you know, bilingual staff members to using language line phones that you can access when you need to.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It depends. Yeah, depends where you practice, what population you serve, how big is your organization. Sometimes it's about having handouts in different languages, the primary language.
And that makes sense, too, because you could have handouts for vaccinations and education. Now, we only have a minute left, Dr. Paz Solden. So can you please wrap up what you would like people to take away from this and the AAP recommendations for the good health care access for all immigrant children?
I think that immigrant children should have access to health insurance, to medical care, to medical homes, to like all children. As a country, I don't think we can afford to leave a large group of children behind. And even in terms of health insurance, this is not an expensive proposition in our country. It doesn't cost very much money to insure children, but they are now a very important part of our country, of our society, and the future of our nation. If we leave them behind, we're going to spend a lot more money down the line trying to have them catch up, whether it's at school or in terms of health issues. So,
well, we certainly are, and as we said before, they are children. We need to take care of them, no matter whose children they are. And the AAP comes out with recommendations about health care access. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. It's all about the health of our children. Stay well.